This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. While the COVID-19 pandemic stretches on, with almost 35% of Americans now fully vaccinated, there's justified optimism here that the worst of the pandemic might be behind us. That's here in the United States. But in India, where just 2% of the country's 1.3 billion people are vaccinated, people are in crisis. Coronavirus disease has surged since March, with newly confirmed cases hovering around 400,000 a day in the past 2 weeks. In the southwestern state of Goa, one in every two people are testing positive for the virus. At this rate, experts fear the death toll in India could reach 1 million by August. And here in Illinois, where 2% of our state's population, almost a quarter million people, identify as having Asian Indian heritage, many have been left to grapple with a crisis that's been devastating to friends, family, and loved ones back in India. Here's a voicemail from an Indian student here in Illinois who paints a grim picture of what he's hearing from friends back home.
So I'm Kamalendu Ghosh. I'm from Kolkata in the state of West Bengal. I came to Illinois in 2016 to pursue my PhD from UIUC. The situation is very bad. It's very grim. It's dystopian. It's apocalyptic. To give you an example, a friend of mine, he stays in New Delhi, and he lives within 3 miles from a nearby crematorium. So he was texting me one day, and he sent me a few pictures on WhatsApp. When he went to the rooftop, there was this layer of ash on the rooftop. He did not suspect it first, but later on he realized that it's the ash of the bodies being burnt at the crematoriums. And the bodies are being burnt on like 24/7 basis. So the situation is quite bad.
Thank you, Kamalendu, for sharing your experience with us. To talk more about the official U.S. government response, today we spoke with Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamurti. He's a Democrat from the 8th District, which includes the communities of Elgin, Schaumburg, and Oak Brook Terrace. He's also one of just four congressmen and women of Indian American heritage. I spoke with him earlier this morning. Congressman Krishnamurti, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, thank you so much, Brian.
I want to begin by asking you, you were born in New Delhi and came to the U.S. when you were just a few months old. We know that Delhi is among the worst affected places in India right now. I want to start by asking you, how are you feeling in light of the crisis that's happening there?
Well, it's a devastating human tragedy that's unfolding. And, you know, my family has numerous friends and family throughout India. My constituents have the same, and businesses that we are close to in my district and elsewhere have, you know, tremendous ties as well. And, you know, just last night I learned that the mother of one of the priests at our temple passed away from COVID on Mother's Day. And I think that that's just incredibly heart-wrenching for everybody right now.
Yeah, I've got to imagine you're hearing from many constituents about what they're experiencing. Are there any other stories you can share?
Well, we have another friend who lost 10 family members in her immediate and extended family.
Wow.
And these are people that are well-to-do. They are firmly in the middle class. I think that the lesson that we've learned is that COVID knows no income barriers or boundaries. It touches all strata of society everywhere. And also, I think this is a cautionary lesson for us as Americans because, you know, India largely fended off the first and other waves of COVID for the last 1 year. In February, they had record low cases of less than 10,000 cases per day. And just so you know, in the U.S., we're still struggling to get to less than 10,000 cases per day. And yet, because of that, they let their guard down, their defenses down, and then boom, the cases surged to more than 350,000 cases per day. And, you know, we cannot allow our defenses to be let down, and we have to be vigilant still.
As a prominent Indian American politician representing the people of Illinois, what do you say to those Indian Americans in Illinois who are looking to friends and family overseas and feeling helpless right now?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of these Indian Americans in Illinois and throughout the country are actually banding together, Brian. They are sending oxygen concentrators. They are sending other supplies. They are also, like me, doing everything they can to get the Biden administration and others to rush assistance. My office is actually facilitating, in a lot of cases, some of these logistics, working with carriers to, you know, expedite shipments. I'm proud of the Indian American community for banding together and rushing money and supplies, and there's much work to be done, not only for India, but other hard-hit countries throughout the world.
Well, let's talk about policy. You mentioned the Biden administration. What do you think that they should be doing to help address the crisis?
They've got to hustle. I mean, I think they've done a tremendous job of vaccinating our own population, just tremendous. And I think that right now what we've learned is that they need to do more to help other countries get up to speed. So, for instance, you know, we have 60 million AstraZeneca doses that we are not going to use as part of our vaccination program. And so we need to share those and deploy them with the rest of the world. I'm pleased that the Biden administration, in response to my calls to share those vaccines, actually made an announcement that they were going to do so. But that was 2 weeks ago, Brian. And in the meantime, countless people have died. Countless people have contracted cases. I'm concerned that although there are a lot of people within the Biden administration that probably get it and believe that these doses should be sent abroad where they can save lives, I think that there are a lot of people who are cautious and are worried about legal niceties and other things. And yet now is not a time to be cautious. Now is a time to be erring on the side of caution and moving quickly to get excess resources that we are not going to use and we are not using to where the COVID fires are raging. If we don't do so, those fires will come back to burn us here at home. I think that right now, not only should the United States help other countries out of a sense of morality and compassion and love and a sense of humanity, we have to do so out of our own self-interest. There are variants coursing throughout the world, and it only takes one variant to overpower one of our vaccines in the United States, and all of a sudden we're back to square one. And why would we jeopardize the incredible progress we've made in this country in vaccinating such a large portion of our population by dilly-dallying and not assisting the rest of the world in vaccinating their populations? This is absolutely in our national best interests, and it's urgent.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurti, thank you so much for your time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brian.
And we now have a panel to talk more about how the crisis in India is affecting our Asian Indian communities here in Illinois. Dr. Raj Govindaya is Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Memorial Health System in Springfield. Hello, Dr. Govindaya. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Brian. Pleasure.
Also here is Babaji, who is president of the Nanaksar Sikh Temple in Rockford, Illinois. Hello, Babaji. Thank you for joining us as well.
I'm here.
Also with us is Akanksha Krasinski, an award-winning filmmaker in Chicago and native of New Delhi, India. Akanksha, welcome to you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
And Jay Tumala has been a resident of the Bloomington Normal area for the past 18 years and is originally from Southeast India. He's a mechanical engineer who works in IT and is also a member of the Telugu Association of Bloomington Normal, which works to preserve Telugu heritage and language here in Illinois. Jay, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Govindaya, I want to begin with you. Can you talk about what is behind the crisis in India? What is causing this surge in cases there?
You know, we just heard from Congressman Krishnamurti about several of the concerns he has, how we do not want to get complacent and have a surge. India is a complex place. I will start by saying I am of Indian heritage, but I was actually born in the Quad Cities. My parents immigrated in the late 1960s. But I have a very large extended family in India. Some of them got COVID in the summer. Some of them got COVID in the fall. What's different this time, though, appears to be the amount of disease and, quite frankly, a health infrastructure that is not able to manage the surge that's coming at them. So India's a very densely populated place. It's about one-third the landmass of the United States, but there's 1.3 billion people there. One in six people on Earth live in India. And in some ways, it's amazing they did not have this problem earlier, but with a variety of increase in activity, the disease has, COVID has spread like wildfire. And the numbers that are being reported are absolutely being undercounted. When you cannot get to a hospital, when you cannot be tested at that hospital, when you cannot be treated at that hospital, then we are absolutely missing people who have COVID and who are suffering because of it. But it's very complex mix of factors, but it's the population and an increase in daily activity and a lack of recognition of a surge that was coming. And they have very low vaccination rates compared to the United States.
Babaji, I understand that you recently traveled back from a visit to India. Can you describe what you saw there?
Yes, I came back from India on April 29th. So before that, 2 weeks before, there was the coronavirus was going up as a boost over in India. And when I came, it was going up that time. But one thing on the government of India, we don't have any kind of complaint on the government and the doubt on that. What sources they have, they are providing the to the population, to the people. And the Indian government is committed, all state administration and the central federal government, they are committed to protect and to save the lives of their citizens. They're providing everything, whatever they have. But one thing, the people, especially, I'm a religious leader, but especially in religious places, worship places, somewhere the people are not following the proper way because they're not wearing the mask. Or the religious leaders in India, they have to come move forward. They are role models. They have to address their community leaders. Hey, this is the dangerous virus. If we get the vaccination, we can save our lives instead. And your neighbors and another, your relatives, your family members, it's necessary. The religious leaders, community leaders have to come first and have to address and have to come move forward to tell, to explain the community guys, their community persons, and they have to appeal the community peoples and religious leaders have to appeal, wear the mask all the time, social distancing, and get the vaccination as soon as you can.
As soon as they can, yeah. Let me bring Akanksha Krasinski into the conversation. You're from New Delhi. You still have family there. Can you share with us what they're going through and how difficult this has been to witness it from afar?
It has been extremely distressing. So my entire immediate family and extended family are all still back in New Delhi. And it's been very distressing to just to like completely be powerless, you know, to help. I've seen like all of my high school friends just sharing constantly sharing and tweeting requests for oxygen, requests for hospital beds, requests for and every single day over for the last 2 weeks, I've been on Zoom calls with my extended family, and they're just like counting off numbers. Like it's between 6 to 10 people I hear of every single day that were like neighbors or like people, you know, that I went to school with, or people that are in the community that are passed on because of this. And so it kind of is just like, I think at some point it's, I think that we're just kind of living with this daily trauma. I know my family is absolutely keeping indoors, and they've been kind of trapped in their house for a month. My sister shared with me that the government has actually asked people to wear masks indoors inside their homes. And it's traumatic in a way that, I mean, I've been in this country on my own for 13 years now. It is traumatic in a way that like I haven't experienced before.
We need to take a break in less than a minute here, but before we do, Jay Tumala, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're involved in the Indian American community in Bloomington Normal, particularly the Telugu community. This is an ethno-linguistic group in India. Can you just talk briefly, what are you hearing from back in India, and how has this affected you here?
There's a lot of fear, and like everyone is saying, it's very hard to find a family from Bloomington that was not impacted by someone they know, friends with their family with back home. So everyone is impacted. It's pretty traumatic to the extent that even if something happens to your near family member in India, we can't even travel. It's very traumatic.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation for the rest of our program today. We want to invite our listeners to join us at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. More to come on this on the 21st. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the developing, ongoing COVID crisis in India, the surge in cases there. We're hearing from Indian Americans. They represent 2% of Illinois' population. About 250,000 people in Illinois claim Indian American heritage. We're speaking with Dr. Raj Govindaya, who's chief medical officer, Memorial Health System in Springfield. Babaji is president of the Nanaksar Sikh Temple in Rockford, Illinois. Also with us is Akanksha Krasinski, who's an award-winning filmmaker in Chicago, native of New Delhi, and Jay Tumala, who is an engineer in the Bloomington Normal area. And we want to take your calls, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455, especially if you are a member of the Indian American community in Illinois. We want to hear what you are hearing from back home and how you're feeling about it. Dr. Govindaya, I want to ask you, from a more medical point of view, can you talk the outbreak in India and the potential of new variants being a major catalyst for what's happening there? How does that relate to the idea of herd immunity here and everywhere else in the world, and the possibility of ongoing outbreaks of COVID-19?
Yeah, Brian, when I looked last week, worldwide, according to the CDC, or maybe it was the New York Times, we'd given 1.2 billion vaccinations, which is a lot. But it means that the vast majority of people on Earth are not vaccinated. And as long as the virus keeps spreading, infecting people, it has the opportunity to mutate. And if it mutates, it might change enough so that the vaccine is no longer effective because the virus is now different than what it started with. So we started this whole pandemic. It started in one place, in one country. It's now worldwide. And unless we treat this as a worldwide problem, my fear is that we may get a high vaccination number here in the United States, but other countries, such as what India is experiencing now, or Brazil did earlier this year, will have a lot of illness, and as a result, the possibility for mutation, which could then travel back to us. So this is a problem for the whole world. And the implication is that we may not be able to put the genie back in the bottle and stop COVID from spreading all the time. And we then need to move to a place where it's like the flu and we try and manage it every year. And that's certainly looking very possible right now, unfortunately.
Akanksha, normally this would be a time of excitement for you. I understand you recently completed a graduate school thesis film, that won an award, you're fully vaccinated, and there's hope around you where things here are slowly opening back up. Can you talk about, though, how the crisis in India has affected your mental health?
Yeah, so it's timing is really funny because it happened, you know, the award that we're talking about happened like 2 days before this catastrophe exploded. So I haven't really, so my brain has just kind of gone into this this place of just, you know, of freezing, really. You know, it's paralyzing. It has been very disorienting to see friends here sharing, you know, selfies of them having gotten their second shot and then going to like hot vaxxed girls summer or whatever, and then seeing friends back home, you know, sharing posts about how they're looking for a hospital bed for their parent or whatever, and so it's been disorienting in a way that that I haven't experienced before, and I don't know where we go from here.
Babaji, you are a religious leader, president of the Nanaksar Sikh Temple in Rockford. Can you talk a little bit about how you are advising your congregation through your faith during a crisis like this?
Yes. First thing, we put the signs in the temple. Wear the mask all the time when you before entering and up to the you are staying inside. Wear all the time. And follow the rules of social distancing. And now the mass gathering, we are not doing mass gathering. The people are coming, but they're different time in different groups, not in the together one time. And also I'm addressing the people who are coming, the community guys, okay, get the vaccination. Don't believe on rumors, because rumors, they are not in a reality. So get the vaccination. But that's the one thing positive. The Indian community, all Indian community, especially the Sikh community, they are very, very educated. Mostly the all Indian community, they get 90% the vaccination. And another remaining, they are getting soon. They are getting and they are making schedules. But because that a lot of people, they are educators, doctors, engineers, intellectuals, attorneys, they know about that disease and they know the benefits of the vaccine.
I guess I wonder, though, if people are coming to you, you know, as a religious leader for guidance or advice, is there something, yes, is there something that, you know, comfort or guidance in the Sikh religion for people who may not be familiar with the tenets of that faith, of, you know, that you tell people at a time of crisis like this?
Yes, because besides my religious lecture, all the time I put the videos, I send them messages to the people just to encourage. And I also get on the Wednesday in the morning, the last Wednesday, I get the first vaccine from the Mercy Hospital. And after that, I went to the media to encourage mostly the 10% people in the United States, the Americans. They believe on rumors. They no, if we will get the vaccine, something would happen with us. I also address those guys. I explain to them on streets also, on sidewalks, please don't believe on rumors. Nothing will happen with you if you will get the vaccine, because that vaccine is approved by Department of Health of United States. Don't be scared. Get it as soon as you can.
Jay Tumala, let me ask you, how is the Telugu community in Bloomington Normal lending support back to India?
A great question, Brian. Telugu is a majority of the people in Bloomington area, but we got representation from every state, Tamil and also Hindi speaking folks from North India. So there are a couple fundraising activities that are already happening, especially with organizations like Seva and Nirman. So they have people like on the ground, like boots on the ground in India, who are actually helping the relief efforts in India in terms of ICU beds or oxygen and things like that. So we have an opportunity here in local community to raise the funds for those specific needs. Apart from that, we have also started a help desk, sort of an idea, especially to provide help to the local community, whoever needs some sort of an information. We want to be able to provide an avenue for them to ask questions and get information and things of that nature. So I was just chatting with Dr. Govinda on the side that we are going to take help from local doctors to, if someone has a question, they want to take a second opinion or third opinion on how their family could take precautions or what kind of things they should do back home. We want to be able to provide those kind of opportunities here in Bloomington Normal area for Indian community. So yeah, we got a few things going on up here.
Dr. Govindaya, earlier in this segment, we heard from U.S. Congressman Raja Krishnamurti, who said that the government needs to hustle, that was his phrase, needs to hustle to help address the crisis in India. What do you think needs to happen, both, you know, sort of officially, but also for people who are not powerful politicians? What can they be doing to help?
So there are many things that the government can do, and I think Congressman Krishnamurti spoke about them very capably. I think the Indian American community has advocated for action as well, and I hope and pray that that will be listened to. On a more individual level, at a community level, just like in Bloomington, here in Springfield, and across the areas that Memorial Health System serves, we have a very diverse group of healthcare workers who have Indian heritage, South Asian heritage, and they have been working together in a very similar manner to what Jay just described to make sure that when we identify resources, that they go from our intent to making an impact with boots on the ground to verify, yeah, we got them, yeah, they work, and yes, this is the stuff we need. And we have a variety of organizations in our community, all representing the Indian community, that have gotten together along with charitable organizations in our community to help make sure that the charitable giving campaign that they've embarked on will make the highest impact possible. And I think it's really important to make sure that aid goes to every area that's being impacted, not just the areas that are on the news. And the big cities will get the most press right now because it's easy to get to them. And certainly New Delhi is, the carnage there is unprecedented and catastrophic. But I'm concerned there's other areas of the country that have similar things going on and it's just not being reported because people can't get there. But the Indian communities in each of our communities is trying to find places to directly help on the ground and make sure that aid is what they need and it gets there appropriately. That's happening in Bloomington. I'm glad to hear that. It's happening in Springfield and I presume in other parts of the state as well.
Akanksha, I wonder, what do you hope that people who are listening to this, what do you want them to know about the crisis, how it's affecting you and your family back in New Delhi? Akanksha, are you with us? Maybe a Zoom muting issue? Okay, we might have lost Akanksha Krasinski there. Jay Tumala, let me ask you that question. What do you want to, what just sort of we're coming to the end of our time here. What do you want people to know about how you know, this crisis is affecting people back in India?
Yeah, I mean, so especially for my colleagues here, my friends here, I mean, just to understand that we, a lot of families that you work with on a daily basis to deal with are going through a lot of stuff. At the moment, it's not easy. So the stories that we heard about New York like a year ago, this is like happening a hundredfold back home in India for some of us. And as a matter of fact, Brian, I mean, before coming to the call, I just came to know that my dad's elder brother, he contracted he's in hospital at the moment. So, I mean,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. So there are a lot of stories like that, that everyone is going through. So just help, check with them and see how they're doing and see what you can do for them. I mean, you can donate to the charitable organizations that are doing this activity. You can provide them mental strength and things of that nature. I guess the biggest thing that you can do anything for your colleagues and friends at the moment is that check with them to see how they're doing. And I think that makes a huge difference.
And Akanksha Krasinski, I understand we have you back. Last question, I think, to you in our segment. We're almost out of time. But what do you hope and want others to know about the crisis and how it's affecting you and your family here and back in New Delhi?
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened there. I think the congressman touched on this earlier too. Just like knowing that we're not necessarily out of the, you know, we're not necessarily safe just yet. I know that there's been a large notion of like, okay, you know, this summer where things go back to normal. But personally, I've been kind of terrified. Like, if this is happening in India, what, you know, why, how can we be that far off, especially with the mutants and the variants? And it's also something about, you know, compassion, because it feels like human life has not mattered as little as it is in India right now. And I feel like, you know, the disparity between the rich and the poor and how this is really taking a toll on people in rural India and in large numbers. Mm-hmm. Just paying attention to that, because, you know, we are probably, I assume we are going to have another climate crisis like this in the next 100 years or so. And,
all right.
And
well,
we have to be better prepared for it.
We will continue to follow this story. Akanksha Krasinski, Jay Tumala, Dr. Raj Govindaya, and Babaji, thank you so much for being here. That is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.